The following is brought to you by a generous donation from Canoe Place Inn and Cottages. Fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.
I am Bill McCuddy.
Can we just be cool? I'm Bridget Leroy.
We've tried.
I'm the definition
cool.
of cool.
And that's the always hot Jim Turner, our one-man band. And this is a little something called Air Hamptons.
With Bridget and Bill.
That's right.
What's up?
In the middle of Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman spent 30 days in a hot box. We're spending the next 60 minutes in a giant tin building, roasting like turkeys in August.
I don't know. I feel more like a sardine.
I'm the turkey, I guess.
You are.
Today, we have the legendary G.E. Smith and his lovely wife, Taylor Barton. She has written a novel. He will be at Guildhall. Anne Liguori joins us with her book. She is a woman that wandered into a man's world, kind of like this show.
Wait, which of us is the woman? So confused. Who am I today? What are you talking about?
She has a great new book called Life on the Green.
Yes.
Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf. She sat down with all of them, and she's going to sit down with us.
That's great.
The less than legendary Bill McCuddy. And the very legendary.
Very legendary Bridget Leroy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who I am.
I've read your press release. I don't believe any of it, but it's all there.
You There's are a press a
legend.
Release?
Hey, speaking of legends, Jim Turner, favorite August or favorite summer gig playing either out here or anywhere in the country?
Oh, yeah, I dropped that name before. I was very fortunate where G.E. Smith was in between, you know, flying around the world, and I sat in with him at a place in Three Mile Harbor, and they liked me so much they had me play with them. And then I said, well, if you're available and the money's right, I have some parties I can hire you for. And we were hired for this. I've done thousands of them, but I did a lot with GE, and it's big part of my. So we got hired to play the Boys Harbor Fireworks with Tony Duke. And sure enough, GE showed up with a long extension cord. And I can't help tell you that it was one of the greatest things of my life. This guy's one of the greatest guitar in the world.
What are the odds he's on the show today? What are the odds?
He doesn't go to places like that.
No, we are lucky. He brought long extension cord here.
Everybody's slumming. That's what we should have called this show. Everybody's slumming with Bridget and Bill.
That's
what
song.
It should have been called.
We don't have the rights to it, but everybody's slumming at me. I ain't
there you
got
go.
A word to say. All right.
Oh, yeah.
It is the
voice.
August.
That's your voice that's ask your doctor about Plavix.
Yeah, that's right.
Say that. Say
I
it.
Can't
I love it.
It
when you say it.
Ask your doctor about Plavix.
There you go.
Check engine light on. We'll check it for free at AMCO. AA
beep beep. Beep beep. I want to do the beep beep. Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
It's hot.
It's
hot.
It's
do you
so
know?
Hot.
Do you know? As Carson would say, do you know how hot it is?
How hot is it?
It's so hot. This is the hottest summer in 2,000 years.
How do they know how hot it was 2,000 years ago? They didn't even have like.
Maybe they meant 200. No, I think it was 2. And by the way. That was last year, 2023, the hottest, and they say 2024 has a 61% chance of beating that. And that's according to the nice folks at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Organization.
Which, whose days are numbered, apparently. We'll
yeah,
see.
But
I mean, we don't get political on this show, but we'll see.
But yeah, but if it was hotter
yes.
2,000 years ago, then we've been cooling off.
Yeah. Well, how do they even know that? I don't understand how they could actually know what temperature. I mean, I guess by looking
it's
at like
time
striations.
Machine, something they've done in the future that they can go
it's
back.
It's science.
Right.
Not my milieu.
I want to talk to you about the latest rage. You're
what?
Just back from, you're back and forth from Costa Rica.
Yes,
it's
I
hot
am.
There, it's hot here.
Yes.
The new thing in everybody's Hamptons backyard or Palm Beach or anywhere is the cold plunge tub.
You couldn't catch me dead in one of those. I would be dead.
I
know it's supposed to be good for you. I just cannot.
Joe Rogan does it, so it must be good.
Oh, it must be. Look, you're going to have to put things in the name.
The Egyptians invented this 35,000. How do we know that? 35,000 years? No, in 3500
well,
BC.
Well, there you've got the petroglyphs and the hieroglyphs. You've got the pictures.
Hippocrates declared it a universal remedy, and They've been using it, and we see it on, remember North Dallas 40 when Nick Nolte and Mac Davis were sitting in the cold tub together?
I saw a sports movie, Anne Liguori, North Dallas 40.
60 degrees. I bet golfers do it. I bet Tiger gets in a hot plunge or a cold
plunge. I understand.
After a hot tub, cold plunge.
Well, the reasoning behind it is that it resets your nervous system. I do know about this.
We need that desperately.
It resets your CNS.
You and I should do that.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, so when you go to the beach in Costa Rica, especially down in Dominical, they have these like trash, they're basically like trash cans, and you can pay like the equivalent of $2. They're filled with ice and you can get in. Yeah, I'm totally serious. They have massages on the beach and cold plunges, and yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
Okay, so you're supposed to do it from 90 seconds and work up to 3 minutes, and there, we don't have a 55-gallon drum here. But at Jiffy Lube, they do. Check in.
beep, beep. No, that's Amco.
No, Jiffy Lube was different. Right. And from Baltimore. And one of our guests grew up in Baltimore.
Yes.
But I digress, because
yes,
that's what I do best.
Yes, you do very much.
So there is a $200, you can't get the 55-gallon drum, or maybe you could, but for $200, you can get an inflatable one, and they go up to tens of thousands of dollars. I have a friend, Nathaniel Kramer, who photographer, and he swears by that. I play golf with him.
By the cold plunges.
He loves it.
See, I just think that there's this like nefarious cartel of people throughout history.
Ice spenders?
who just, that's a funny one. But no, that just people who just come up with really bad, like things that are incredibly painful for people to do. And then like,
okay,
let's
well,
see
the
if they're
Egyptians
stupid enough
came
to do
up with
it.
This in 3500 BC.
They are still laughing. They are still laughing
BC
behind
was
their...
before cold. Did you know that? That's like before they had this, there was no cold.
Oh my God, of course.
All of this in something called fieldmag.com, and we thank Catherine Englishman, who lives in Maine and wrote about taking the plunge. Later on in this hour, we're going to talk about the hottest movies of August, including a couple that I think you're going to enjoy.
Oh, really? Okay.
But finally, do you know what the number one drink is this heated August? In fact, every year, every summer?
Water?
No.
It should be.
It is the, yes, out of that giant plunge tub.
Yes, exactly. Just drink the plunge.
The essence of Nathan.
Bathe in it and drink it.
Right.
Okay.
No, the mojito is traditionally the hottest drink. But guess what the trend is this year?
What?
And you're
going to
like this.
What?
Lower ABV, lower alcohol by volume options.
Oh, I'm going to like it because I'm sober.
Thing.
Is that what
yes. Is? You'll be able to...
Yay, sober people!
Well, we're coming to you. What I'm saying is we're not there yet, but we're walking...
you're walking towards...
We're touching our nose and walking a line towards
right, right,
you.
Right, right, like right. Like, I've got the dodgeball. I'm the dodgeball captain, and people are generally coming towards
yes.
me.
Yes. So okay. It says bartenders all over have been moving into refreshers like a Blanc vermouth and soda with a twist, or an ice-cold sherry and soda. And a key to this is the trend is all of these lower alcohol drinks. And now there are a couple of bars in Manhattan that do nothing but non-alcohol
yeah.
drinks.
Yeah. Even in Costa Rica, they
and
have
really
mocktails. It's spelled M-O-C-K-T-E-L-E, mocktails.
You nice.
Are on the menus now. I'm like, mocktails, I like those.
So the new drink would be the Lesjito.
The Les Mojito? Lesjito.
I wanted to finish on something bigger than that.
Yeah, that's really...
Hey, sad. Play some hot music for us,
Jim
Turner, if you can.
Take us out.
As we introduce our first guest.
Yes.
Please.
Oh, well, gosh, it's amazing. They really need no introduction. We've got the most fantastic guitarist alive, G.E. Smith, best known from SNL, but longtime resident out here, and his lovely Mrs., Taylor Barton, who's an incredible songwriter in her own right and a writer and has written books that I have read and enjoyed. Last year's, I pitched a tent in Hell. Was that last year? No, it had to be like 2 years ago. And who has a new novel out, a psychological thriller, Condom Eddie.
Thank you.
Are we allowed to say condom on the air?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can say that anywhere.
Condom! I'm going to say. Yeah. I am.
It,
I'm going to. I'm
does
gonna
it
say
come
it
with a Trojan?
That's a good marketing tip, actually.
Yeah, totally,
you know?
Right?
Tip, so to speak.
Oh, God.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good to be here.
Nervous now that you've seen the first 10 minutes? You're like, what the hell are we doing here?
No, I'm
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. That's like.
Remember, he was married to Gilda Radner, so you got to, like, up your game.
Yeah. Oh, God, now I'm nervous. Okay, you have to put something in here.
The fabulous Ellen Zweibel has done
Zweibel.
An unbelievable job of not letting any... No one would forget her, but new generations come along, and he, every first day of every month on social media, says bunny, bunny.
Oh.
Just puts those two words
They were
out.
Good friends.
Yeah.
That's
Alan
really sweet.
was her good friend, absolutely. He was a great guy. Me and him had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Alan was a writer on SNL.
Yep.
And occasionally would be in a sketch, but not very often. And he was a huge, he wrote a lot for her, I guess, is one of the ways they got started. Yeah, I guess absolutely. Lisa Lubner and some of the other characters that became her signatures.
You guys met on SNL, didn't you? You were dancing. SNL.
I was dancing. I actually found the picture. I was hired to be on a Valentine's sketch dancing while he played Stormy Weather. So
who were the host and the musical guests
on that
show?
I don't know
the host,
but that was...
Who was the host?
We met on the stage and
maybe Wayne Gretzky, somebody like that.
Really?
No, yeah. That was a different show. Yeah,
Sting had a movie called Stormy Monday that I wouldn't be surprised that had the song Stormy Weather in it. Wouldn't
Stormy Weather or Stormy Monday?
No, well, the movie was called Stormy Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
But he wasn't the musical guest.
That's how we met.
Not at that time.
Yeah, Pat Birch. Who everybody knows, Patricia Birch.
Yeah.
I was one of kind of her stock dancers for different shows, and so she brought me on. And one of my friends like, yeah, well, is there anything, you know, can we see you? So I Googled it last week, and I found it, and I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
That there it is.
There's.
You know.
And that was the first time you met. So who asked who out? Tell me your cute meet or meet
I
cute
asked
or whatever.
Tara, sure. Yeah. And she refused.
Yeah, I refused for 6 months, and then he was out with Bob Dylan. I was married.
Oh, okay.
he was out with Bob Dylan in L.A., and I was out with Pat Birch in another show, and he flew in, and he's like, you know, why don't you come see a show? And I did, and that was it.
And that's history. You guys have been together for a very long time.
We have.
You guys came to our wedding.
Yes.
Me and Eric.
Yes.
Right, you and Eric.
We've been together.
35 years.
We've been together.
You've been at 35, and we've been at 28 for us. Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. I've known you guys a super long time. It's so nice to see your sweet
faces.
It's
so great, and we're all here.
I know. Yeah, we're all still alive, right? We're still kicking. Yeah.
We are. And, you guys watch... NBC at all? Do you watch
the
Saturday
SNL?
Night Live or any kind of regular television?
We watch the news. We watch Lester Holt. That's it's time for Lester.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
NBC is still in your 401k, so you're supporting the home team.
Yes.
But Saturday Night Live, no.
I haven't watched Saturday Night Live since 1980.
Well, I watch
even though I was
the
on
reruns.
It.
Yeah, you watch reruns?
But Taylor watches stuff.
So, you know, I like the one that sketched the ladies. I am 50... The Pilates lady, or you know, right. One cracks
there are
me
some
up.
Funny ones.
You know, some of my favorite sketches. I mean, I worked a lot of the shows as an extra or a dancer. Was the In and Out, Nobody Gets Hurt,
Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon's, and Wayne Gretzky's Waikiki Hockey.
We danced
for that.
Well,
whatever.
You guys should write a book about your experiences. It would be so much fun.
Everybody writes a book now.
I know.
It's
I just wrote a
book. I was going to say, well, that's a good segue, George, for us to discuss your wife's new book.
Yeah, but that's a different kind of book. I mean, like a tell-all showbiz book, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
People have asked me to.
Yeah, I bet.
For years, since the 80s, they've asked me to.
No, yeah, I agree with you completely. What would be the best story that would be in that book?
He's trying.
Good job.
See, no, you don't need to do the book if we can just have a little conversation.
Let's do this.
No, but that is the thing, I love the idea of just hearing about the good things and the happy things or the funny things, but of course what they
publisher
want...
won't pay for that.
Exactly. Right. What they want is all
sex,
the...
sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Exactly.
That's what they want.
Which is not really what I'm interested in, you know? I like to hear fun, nice stuff. Yeah, exactly, right? So tell us a little... Taylor, so we've got Authors Night on August 10th Herrick Park. You are one of the featured authors.
Yep.
Tell us about Condom Eddie and why. And when I know you've written novels, but this is a psychological thriller.
Yes. It took me 10 years to write. I started writing it when I was working for a major musical lawyer. And over the period of time, this crazy character came out and I was like, what is this? And then I started to watch a lot of crime stories over COVID. And what kicked in for me was I took a character who does 23andMe and she finds out she has a biological brother who's a convicted sex offender. So
that's really cool.
She decides
her
only blood.
Right.
She was adopted, he wasn't. So it's nurture versus nature, good versus evil.
Wow.
The two of them come together, and then she finds out it's her twin brother. and they work out this sort of horrendous past, him not really getting any better and her offering redemption. And I did a lot of research. I watched a lot of shows, and
that must have been pretty dark.
She watched some scary stuff. Oh my God.
Really scary stuff. But I wrote it as a sort of, you know, red flag for women to know, like, when they're in the midst of something that is not going to
end well.
Farewell.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wrote it for her too, I think a lot of adopted people have a fantasy of where they come from and what it might be, but, you know, her bubble is burst when she realizes, like, she dodged the bullet. Her mother in the story is a crack addict prostitute who lives in Hell's Kitchen, and she creates this monster, but the other one is given up and raised and has an amazing life. She is the only one who can take this guy on because he's her other half.
That's amazing.
It sounds like a Dateline, like Keith Morrison would be going.
Yeah. It sounds like a movie.
Gone to Medi was innocent.
Definitely,
was
it's
he?
A series. Yeah. It's a series. I'm looking for someone to help collaborate.
Eight part series. Yeah. I like it.
Limited series. Yeah. Any writers out there? But
that sounds amazing.
It was wild to write, and every day I sat down, I was like, where are we going now? I mean, I had no idea where we were headed. But that came up, and like I said, it took me 10 to 15 years to write, and GE helped me edit it. And
I was going to say, Dad, because you guys collab, obviously, on everything GE does.
He was almost an English professor, so he had to, like, go, you know, we had to go through this over and over again and get, you know, he did a good job, and then I hired a real editor. And I'm very proud of it, you know. So there, good. That, and I'm very proud of him. We got that other show with, you know, portraits.
We want to ask you guys about.
Gee, what is she like when she's writing? Does she have a ritual, like up at 5 a.m. and you leave her alone for a couple hours?
Well,
you know, you want to let her have her time to write, but no, not at 5 a.m. Taylor's not a 5 a.m.
No.
Girl, never was.
But a routine of some kind.
Yeah,
you're
I have a discipline of, like, writing, like, 3 or 4 times a week. You know, at least an hour. And a tip a writer teacher always told me was, stop when you're hot, like, so that you'll want to come back to it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so
that's really good.
Yeah.
Because I'm just starting to write stuff myself.
Yes.
I am not a person who has a routine.
Yeah, no, I'm
a... You wouldn't guess that.
So you build in your own little cliffhangers and then you go, wait, I can't.
So that you have a desire and reason to go back to it. Mm. And, you know, with songwriting, the same. I have a beginning, middle, and end. I write pictures. Some writers write, you know, hooks or answer call, but I like to write stories in my songs. Mm-hmm. And I play every day, and I practice singing every day.
Right.
With my now dead singing teacher. She left me with the tape. And she's still alive to me.
Yeah, it was Marge. Like,
Marge, who also taught Linda Ronstadt and Bette Midler, and how I got into her camp was amazing.
That's a podcast, the Marge Tapes.
The Marge Tapes. Yeah, we get all the singers on your.
With the talking heads of the people.
Who else was her?
Lots of people.
So many people.
Sometimes we'll get in the car. Me and Josie will get our daughter Josie. We'll get in the car, Taylor's car. And turn on the car, and Marge comes on. Josie goes, it's Marge!
That's so great.
She was a great lady, though.
Yeah, she was cool.
So tell us a little bit about Valerie June and Lola Kirk. This is at Guildhall, the newly renovated Guildhall.
Guildhall has reopened its doors, and it's August 15th at 7 o'clock. Valerie June is one of the most beautiful,
amazing,
talented, spirited, what women I have ever met. She does kind of blues, like Memphis blues. She's born in Memphis. She's a beautiful poet. She's
is
a yogi.
Is GE
yes.
playing?
Yeah,
you're playing.
Of course.
This is
yeah,
like
me
the
and Valerie
portraits,
will,
right?
We'll do this together.
She's gorgeous. And we are so happy she agreed to do this. She is blowing up right now. She's out all over the country.
That's
playing
great.
With like Jason Isbell, Trevor Hall. This one, that one, she's huge. And then Lola Kirk
is our own hometown girl.
Yeah, our hometown girl. But Lola, when she was 6, was in my first music video.
Oh, really?
My very first. And she's this beautiful actress.
And she's Lorraine and Simon's daughter.
Simon's daughter, beautiful actress. wonderful singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Was in, she
just did
Broadway show. She's doing, it's not the Broadway show, but Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal co-wrote a show that Lola workshopped.
Right.
She was
And when you say, pardon me, Lorraine, you're talking about Lorraine Newman? Or
no, Lorraine Kirk.
Lorraine Kirk,
Lorraine
sorry.
Kirk, who's married to Simon Kirk.
No longer.
No longer.
Yeah.
But they have Lola and Jemima.
And Domino.
And Domino,
and
right,
Greg.
Of course.
They're all art kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you've just joined us, this is Divorce Hampton style. I'm Will McCuddy along with...
No, we're just having this great talk with, if you're just joining us, Taylor Barton and G.E. Smith about all the cool things that are going on. And so this show is part of the portrait season. Now, you guys have been doing portraits for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, tell folks, course, what that is.
Yeah, no, Guildhall's been
Taylor came
for...
up with the whole portraits idea, and it was, I gotta say, brilliant, and it's worked out really good for us.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought I wanted to cross vernacular, so I brought anybody, writers, filmmakers, artists, visual artists who played music, and brought them on stage with GE to do a set of their choice and talk to them about their creative process in between, from, you know, how do they approach songs versus how do they approach acting. Like, we had Kevin Bacon, Ethan Hawke,
yeah, you've had
Carter Burwell, Dawes, Roger Waters, Avett Brothers, Billy Squire. I mean, we've had so many
Sophie
cool
Hawkins.
People. Sophie Hawkins,
yes.
Paula Cole, Sarah Jarosz. Lots of them, but I just loved it because what I love is the creation, the genesis of the whole thing. And everybody was so humble and wonderful. Ethan was
Ethan was
amazing. Yeah. He gives so much.
And he's really good musician.
Really?
You know, like, you don't know these, you know, Ethan as an actor, and obviously he's a great actor.
But he's done a lot of, you know, like, movies, Blue. He's done a lot of,
right,
you know,
musical things. Yeah, inspired.
He takes on a lot. And these two girls, Valerie June was in, was she in Elvis? Or?
No, no, that was Yola.
Yeah, but James, she was in the CNN movie of Gus Winters. It was James Brown, a documentary of James Brown.
Right.
So she's an actress.
Fantastic.
Lola is in, she was in Gone Girl and Mozart.
Mozart in the Jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was amazing
and
in that.
She's
I just started watching that.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's fun.
True.
Eric
but
loves
she's,
it.
But she's so organic. You
yeah.
Know, so.
Well, that's going to be a really amazing
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's going to be a really amazing
yeah.
show.
And that's August 15th at Guildhall, and it's Valerie June and Lola Kirk joining GE.
Back for our
How are Hampton's audiences? Are they good?
Yeah, they're great. They love people, you know, where I'm basically...
It's not a lot of...
No.
Not the shows that we do.
Yeah, I basically am introducing artists to them they might not know, but they really... Well, they know them, but they aren't used to coming in and seeing them into intimate venue, you know.
Yeah,
we know both of you. We didn't know there was a new book called Condom Eddie. It sounds like it's going to be a movie or a miniseries.
Thank you.
Very
yes.
soon.
Yes, from it's your, been, your God, mouth to God's ears.
Guys, it's been so great having
thank
you. Taylor
thank
and
you.
G.
For having us.
Love
thank
you guys.
You
love you so much.
Yeah, I love you too.
Bridget, always good to see you.
You too, honey. Okay. And I'm so glad to see you. And we'll see you soon
yep.
on stage and on at stage. Author's Night.
Author's
Jim
Night.
Turner, play the legendary G.
Hit it, Jim.
And
great to see G. And
yeah, man.
Plays the summer.
Do you want that book?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. I'm taking one of these. Or I'll take these.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill.
Because you're hot and you heard this show is cool, okay, you heard it from us. And now, frankly, you're a little annoyed. This is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill. Pass the ice plunge pool. And that is the one-man band, Jim Turner, who's also very, very cool and trying to keep us the same way. We're in the middle of an August show.
Yes, we are. Thanks for pointing that out.
We just need shade.
We just need to vamp a little bit longer.
And a little bit of shade.
The show, yeah.
And now we're going to go green.
Yeah.
Everybody goes green. But we're going to do it with somebody who's writing and talking about golf.
Can we put her in front of the green screen?
No, not.
Yeah, we've got great, great guests now. It was great. And this is one of our
Thanks,
best shows
Jen.
Ever.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, so there's not too much pressure on you there, Anne. Anne
no
Liguori
problem.
Joins us now.
Anne Liguori is amazing.
She is.
And I'm so lucky to know her.
Ah,
I'm so glad
we've
that
known each other for years.
I know.
She has a new book called Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf, and the foreword by Jim Nantz.
I love Jim Nantz. What a guy.
Well, you know them all.
Can I just say that I'm going to be quiet now because you guys are talking about golf. So if I nod my head, like, I don't know who Jim
Nantz is. It's really a book for non-golfers.
She's slightly dyslexic, so flog is what she wants to do to me all the time.
No,
so.
Right. Okay, but I'm just going to, I'm really excited for you to be the lead on this one because I don't know anything about
golf. Here's what you will find interesting. Okay. This was, as I made a joke earlier, a man's world, especially the broadcast end of it.
Right.
There is a women's league, obviously they play, but it must have been difficult for you in the beginning. What was the who opened the first door for you as an announcer?
Wow, gosh, going way back now. Well, you know, being on WFAN, the very first woman to host a sports call-in show,
right?
That was 1987.
Hey, what are you doing?
Exactly. Was exactly.
It? Get the guy on.
Exactly.
Did you get some of that?
Oh,
I'm sure.
We took calls, live calls. I had a show every week for 5-6 hours a week. Hey, LaGuardia, what's the story? And anybody could call. There was a 7-second delay, but
thank God.
Oh, good.
Which I used.
We don't have that.
Did you get harassed by people or by men?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm the kind of person on a golf course, I forget the bad shots. So I forget the bad experiences.
Good.
That's just the way I've always been. But back
then. Well, we have a caller now who's going to remind you.
No.
Louie.
I just remember just trying so hard and working just to be perfect because I knew that if I made a mistake, it would not only ruin my career, but it perhaps would ruin the opportunities for women
for
in sports media. So I put so much pressure on myself. Small town girl from Ohio.
There was no Phyllis George yet. There was
no. Phyllis George was on CBS Sports and before that because what's the chronological order? I was on WFAN after I worked. My first job out of college was at CBS Sports.
Wow.
And Phyllis George, the beauty queen,
was
hired to host one of the hosts of NFL Today.
Okay.
And they did a really great special on her during the Super Bowl. And Jane Kennedy.
And I have to say, by the way,
you remember Jane Kennedy?
Sure.
Yeah. So there were women before me, but on radio sports formats, where it's a call-in sports talk show and anybody can ask you anything.
Yeah.
You know, that was a lot of pressure. I had to watch every Yankees game, every Mets game, every Giants, Jets, Rangers, Islanders.
So how did
Now, I did that show for 25 years.
How did you end up mostly with golf? I mean, was that just something that you loved?
I love golf, and I got hired to host a primetime weekly show on the Golf Channel by a guy, Michael Whalen. Thank you, Michael, who I used to work for as a statistician for he worked at HBO Sports. He was a big boxing and tennis producer. And when he went to the Golf Channel and this new 24/7, you know, Golf Channel was starting.
In the 90s, right?
Or yes, in the late 90s. Uh-huh. He called me, and that, you know how some shows take forever to become a reality?
Yeah.
My show, Conversations with Ann LaGuardia on the Golf Channel, took 5 minutes to create in our heads.
Yeah.
He called and said, Ann, I love your work. I'd love for you to host a new show. There's a new channel coming on called the Golf Channel. It was the first 24/7 niche channel. Remember, it was before the tennis channel and
the history channel.
The history channel.
Yeah. It was the
and
first one.
So my very first interview was with Sylvester Stallone. I decided, first of all, I asked Michael, the programmer, I said, tell me about the other shows that are being created. And they were all with professional golfers. And I said, well, why don't I host a show where I interview celebrity golfers? So Sylvester Stallone was my first guest, Celine Dion, Matthew McConaughey.
And in the beginning,
Jackson.
It was a golf network, did you have to go, my next guest is Sylvester Stallone?
I did not have to whisper. We weren't at these championship golf tournaments. I went to these incredible venues, these resort properties. I was at the Doral, you know, interviewing Sylvester Stallone. I went to Desert Mountain for Matthew McConaughey. Celine Dion, she bought a golf course in Montreal so she wouldn't have to wait for tee times. So I flew up to Montreal, spent the entire day with Celine Dion and her husband, Rene. And I have to say, golf as a vehicle to get to know these celebrities gave us so much time.
Well, this show airs obviously on LTV, but also on WLIW-FM. You have a show on there, Sports Interview.
Right.
And it reminds me very much, there's also a show by Judy Carmichael called Jazz Inspired. But both of your shows, like your show isn't really about sports, it's about the inner workings of people. Exactly. Just like Judy's isn't really about jazz, it's about jazz life.
Right. I use sports to get to know people.
Yeah.
And the sports interview radio show has been on WLIW Saturdays from 7 to 8 in the morning for years.
Right.
And I had a TV version of that sports interview where I interviewed people like Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and Hank Aaron, and I was in my 20s. And these personalities were much older and so willing to share their stories.
That's so lovely.
Unlike a lot of current athletes who, it's very difficult to get a lot of these superstars on the air now. But all these superstars back then wanted to come on the show and tell their stories.
Who made you the most nervous? Or like, when did you have the biggest kind of like...
I think Ted Williams,
really,
because he was older. He was such an intimidating presence. I mean, first of all, just getting that interview was impossible because nobody talked to Ted Williams. And I was in my 20s and he was quite elderly. His son, John Henry, at the time, I was at a golf course in Orlando and I had learned that John Henry lived nearby because the Ted Williams Museum was near this central town in Orlando, Florida.
Orlando. Yeah.
And I knocked on John Henry's door because I wanted to do the interview with his dad. And his wife answered and I introduced myself. And I said, could you give my card? John Henry wasn't there at the time. But I said, could you give my card to John Henry and please have him call me? Because I really want to interview his dad. And sure enough, 2 days later, John Henry, the son, called me.
Wow.
I said, we're going to be up in Boston for the All-Star game. This was the late 90s. Mm-hmm. He said, if your camera crew is ready in this hotel where we're staying at 11 a.m., Ted will have just gotten up from his nap. He was ailing back then. Mm-hmm. So I really credit his son, John Henry, for helping me facilitate that interview. And when Ted Williams walked into the room, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's like mythical.
Any sort of, you're a woman, you're a little gal, you're any old guard from Ted Williams that
a good question, because you would think back then they were much more traditional and old fashioned, but I did so much research and I was so prepared that they were impressed that I had come so prepared to interview them. And so none of them ever gave me any problems, really. I interviewed hundreds of sports legends, right? So aside from the
some of those guys are prickly. I don't know if you want to name
the
names.
Flirtations and the, what are you doing tonight? And my husband at the time was in the room when he asked me out. You know, aside from that kind of thing.
Wait, who asked you out?
Evander Holyfield.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and your husband's like, I'll stand back on this.
What are you going to do? You know, punch out the heavyweight champion of the world?
Right.
No way.
Right.
So, you know, we just laughed that off. Now people would probably file lawsuits.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But as a woman back then, I just laughed.
Thank you so much.
And then all the Hollywood people are used to having women and men interview them, so that wasn't as much of a stigma as some of these real old sports guys who, I imagine, gritted their teeth and said, yeah, she's good. I gotta let her.
Well, I think before they even did the interview, they had known me or had heard about me and knew that I came totally prepared. And look, if I'm interviewing Mickey Mantle, sure, Whitey Ford might want to be on the show. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky or Gordie Howe. I mean, the show was on. That show was on for 17 years.
Yeah. Who turned you down?
Who
was your Cary Grant? That was who
Johnny
Carson
always
wanted to get.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Well, in this book, Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf, you know, these are interviews with all these incredible golf legends, six men and six women. I made it a point to include women in the book as well. So everybody from Jack Nicklaus to Tom Watson, Ben Crenshaw, Nancy Lopez, Annika, Jan Stevenson.
Your colleague, Dottie Pepper. All I ever hear, all those guys on the golf, any golf coming, what do you think, Dottie? Dottie, does it look good, Dottie?
Dottie. I know. That cracks me up, too. But I had actually thought maybe Rory McIlroy would really, of all the younger guys, he would be a great voice as the, you know, representing the current players.
Right.
And he told me he would do the interview. Sure, Ann, because I've known him forever. His agent nixed it.
Oh,
and nowadays you have to really, you can't kind of manipulate around the agents like I used to back in the day.
It lets them be good cop and it lets somebody else be bad cop. That's how all of Hollywood works. So that's why you have to get something in writing.
Why, after all the kind of live interviews you've done and, you know, face to face, what made you want to put it on paper and have something that's people can read.
My first book was A Passion for Golf, Celebrity Musings About the Game, and they were the interviews from my show on the Golf Channel with all these, you know, Hollywood stars and musical stars, from Alice Cooper to, you know, Matthew McConaughey.
Alice Cooper is a scratch golfer.
He is.
Really?
The day he got out of rehab, he played 36 holes of golf and never stopped playing golf. He transferred addiction. And he's very happy to tell you that. He talks all about that in that chapter.
But what made you want to do this particular book?
Right. So I wanted to do my original idea to do another book, because it'd been a while since that first book, was to do the behind-the-scenes book of interviewing Ted Williams and Mickey Mantle and Hank Aaron and Will Chamberlain, who had to bend his knees just to get into the Waldorf and where we were taping. And the publisher, Havlicek Press, said, no, we want a golf book. And I had pretty much kind of connected with them during the pandemic, and golf was so popular.
Oh, yeah.
It really experienced this resurgence, right? And they wanted a golf book. So I said, I can do a golf book. I've been covering, you know, 26 Masters and U.S. Opens and PGA Championships and LPGA Tour events and Ryder Cups. And so,
live takeovers. And
everything. I talk about it all. And so I thought, let's do a golf book. And I wanted it to be very uplifting. I wanted the themes to be universal. So I picked 12 legends, and they each talk about, you know, what they learned from golf that they use in their day-to-day life. Right. So it's life wisdom.
That's amazing.
Gary Player talks about pursuing your passion. He's 88 years young. He plays golf every day. He works out every day. I know, because I did sit-ups with him.
88?
Yes, 88. Wow. And push-ups in the living room for a TV show I did with him years ago. And, you know, Annika Sorenstam talks about there are no shortcuts to success, her work ethic. So all these themes resonate with men and women, young and old.
Yeah.
You know, Dottie Pepper talks about preparation and how important it is. And I know for your interviews, you probably prepare hours for this show.
What's the name of this book?
We do a show? We do a show? What?
We're as funny as you are.
No, so all the themes are great, you know, for the advice that I have for anybody, young or old, are all in this book. All these, Tom Watson, learn from the best.
Now,
mentors were the best golfers, from Arnold Palmer to
let's get a little inside
Byron
golf ball
Nelson.
For a second. Okay. First of all, what's going to make young people want to play this game? Yeah, we got Justin Timberlake. He's okay as you're listening to this. We've got Rory, you mentioned. We've got some young people playing the game, but it's really aging out. And it's,
I don't think so, Bill. I think there are so many young people playing now. It's become so popular. It used to age out, but now it's cool to play golf.
Is it because, like, there are public courses? It's becoming more of an everyman sport.
Well, they're trying to in this country, yeah.
Yeah.
In countries like Ireland, I mean, they play at a very early age. It's much, much more accessible in Ireland. But in this country, they're trying to do programs to get more people involved, you know. Yeah.
Some of those famous Scottish places, like, I'm going to say St. Andrews, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me. If you live in that town, you can walk on.
Absolutely.
Anytime.
You can play for free, or they have so many
programs.
St. Andrews
programs is the oldest golf course in the world.
$2,000 for us to go and play.
Excuse me, I just had
a year.
I just had golf trivia. I knew that St. Andrews was the oldest golf course in the world.
It's amazing.
Okay, isn't that amazing?
You must have told
me that at lunch sometime. I'm like, I'm going to
ignore
that.
The Egyptians built it in 3500 BC.
With the cold plunge pools.
And there's so much money in the game that these young people are chasing the money. There's
so much
money.
What do you think of this new ball? The new ball doesn't go as far, that they're trying to make part of. Yeah,
why?
Okay.
Because
they're hitting the heck out of the ball.
Okay.
And they're making a lot of these golf courses obsolete. And their scores are getting lower and lower. And
these
par
so
fives
power.
Are suddenly getting threes or more
so
often.
So it's almost like mini golf.
The technology in golf has become so incredible.
Some idiot decided maybe if we made the ball heavier or and
change the ball a little bit.
And PGA is looking at, they're thinking about it.
USGA originated the whole concept, so it may happen.
You like it?
Well, I think there are a lot of question marks about it, because what are they going to do? They're going to do it for the pros, but is the same ball going to be?
No, amateur's going to want to use that yards shorter or 40 yards shorter.
Do the amateurs want to play the products that the pros play?
Yeah, that's
so there are a lot of question marks about it. You know what I'm saying?
And I mentioned LIV, which is this new league that's paying billions
like
of dollars to guys.
It's like the Emirates,
right? It's UAE. We had this conversation recently at one of your book signings, and I want to talk about some of your book signings in the month of August. But, like, they're doing they're paying people, and I just remember the XFL and football. I remember all these other franchisee things that have tried to start up
and they fall by the wayside.
What do you think about LIV? And what do you think about the guys that went to play for them? And what do you think about the PGA and the USGA not acknowledging some of
The Saudis have unlimited funds.
Right.
So I don't think they're just going to go away. They want a seat at the table. They organized LIV. They brought a lot of stars. Bryson DeChambeau and who else? But Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson. And they paid them a fortune to go over.
And they put them on teams and changed the graphics.
I don't watch it. I think it's hard to watch.
Really?
I don't watch it. No.
Why is it hard to watch?
It's a team concept, and the way it's presented on TV is very confusing. I think they have to.
G.E. Smith has not, if you're just joining us, G.E. Smith has not watched Saturday Night Live since
1980, and he was still on it.
And Anne LaCourie has not watched LIV.
I'm not a fan of LIV. I just think that.
Should the players be allowed to play in both leagues?
Well, I think eventually that's going to happen. They want a uniformity because the PGA Tour is missing a lot of these stars now. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually they'll come to some agreement. But if the Saudis don't invest $3 billion into the PGA Tour, don't you think they're going to want to control the PGA Tour? And the PGA Tour doesn't want to lose control. Right. So therein lies the issue and why the negotiations are taking so long. But I do feel that, at this point, yes, let the LIV players, let them come back. But they took the money and left the tour that made them famous and made them millionaires.
Yeah.
And so, but the other part of that is the PGA Tour did get an investment from the Strategic Sports Group, American investors.
Oh, okay.
And they paid the PGA Tour players who were loyal. They pay them loyalty.
They give
money.
Them like bonuses. Yeah. Like loyalty bonuses.
Big, so it's all about bonuses. The money.
Yeah.
It's kind of a turnoff, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
It's all kind of a big turnoff to me.
Yes. Although young people would find that interesting, and maybe young people would come to the table if they
I think LIV is appealing to younger golfers because of the live music and the, it's not traditional golf. It's different. And I think they're appealing to
I don't like the team thing and the way they score it with teams. Yeah. I just want to see the individual guys.
Yeah.
I just want to see all the stars playing as many golf events as they can play.
Should the hole be larger? Should the golf hole
for
be
for you
larger?
And me, yes.
How large can you make it for me?
No. The scores are so low for the pros. I mean, there's another guy just shot a 59.
It could be a little bit, just a little bigger.
A 59? What is a normal one, like 72 or something?
It depends
the
guys from course to course.
They're all, to golf and score in the 60s, four straight days is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And they're doing that consistently now. And, the lowest score is a 58. Jim Furyk shot that. But there's been a ton of 59s.
Wow.
And, yes.
It's so you have to have a couple of holes in one to do
holes in ones as much as birdie, eagle.
Okay.
Right.
A couple eagles.
And this
maybe.
Is back to the earlier conversation about
birdies and eagles.
I'm mansplaining. It's one of my favorite
No, please
part of
do, because I will accept your mansplaining right
science,
now because I know nothing about golf.
The science of the drivers and all the other tools in their bag has gotten so much better. They can hit it longer. Right. The scores are going down. And they're saying, well, what if we made the ball? They can't go out and make the courses longer.
No, of course they can't.
Although plenty of
them.
Courses do that in
they're
order to attract a major golf, they'll build longer, further away tee boxes and go, now we're 7,000 yards long. And suddenly USGA goes, oh, maybe we should play the Masters there.
And the reasoning behind that is the same as the Olympics, which is it just brings in tons of money to whatever town is hosting these things.
Yeah.
Right? It's good for
everyone.
But
the members secretly don't like it. It tears up the course for a while.
Oh, exactly.
But the hotels and all the hospitality around there and merch.
You get a lot of money. So.
Yeah.
We've got a major, major, major thing coming to Shinnecock.
That's right.
What we do when?
Yeah.
Another U.S. Open.
U.S.
But
Open.
Not this year.
In 2026.
2026. Is
and then Beth Page, the Ryder Cup next year.
The great thing about Beth Page to anyone, and you'll find this a little interesting, because you mentioned public courses earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Beth Page is public.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. And they're going
to
host the Ryder Cup.
It takes forever to get
Cup.
In, or you have to know somebody, which I shouldn't have just said. We're live. I'll edit that out. No, okay. No, you or you do. You can anyway. There's five.
There's five courses.
One, the black, so difficult, nobody plays it.
Really?
And
is that the
one
where that's where the court
they're going to do the Ryder
Cup. Right. Yeah. That's where they do all the championships.
And even the pros complain.
And I know about the Ryder Cup because Tom Clavin wrote a book about the Ryder Cup all those many years ago when he and I were at the Independent.
Yes.
So I had to read it because I had to look at him every day.
Yes. I'm so excited. My book is right next to Tom's
at
Barnes & Noble in Bridgehampton.
Well, Tom Clavin is our movie maven, but right now he's on a million tours, so he couldn't be here.
Not writing a golf book
no.
movie because they don't make any money. Tin Cup and
the movies?
Bagger Vance and
Happy
and
Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
They never made any money.
No,
well,
they
no,
do.
No, those are the three.
Yeah,
I'm
those
saying.
Are the three
exactly.
they do.
Yeah. Caddyshack.
I do not mean
Caddyshack
to put you. I don't mean
best.
To put you on the spot, but I'm really interested in your answer to this. And we talked about this before, so I don't feel too bad asking you. Where were you on the night of? No. What, how is it 2024 and we sit here and in Augusta, Georgia, they still call something the Masters when real estate brokers can't call a main bed, it's now the primary bedroom. And I know the origin of the word the Masters is about the best golfers and has nothing to do with the history of the South, but everything else is getting woked away.
Wow.
And I just wonder
that is a
if that'll
question.
Ever gonna
yeah,
that will never change.
Yeah,
it means he really likes you. If he's asking you a real question,
Augusta National. That's when Tiger called me dude because he really likes me.
Seriously,
hey dude. When I asked him this question, hey dude, they will never change. It's a private club. They can do what they want.
That's it. That's the short answer.
That's
and you think that's the way it's going to be?
I think that's the way it is.
Well, I'm.
It might not be right. It might not be universally accepted, but they weren't pressured into letting women. In,
they
didn't
relate to that party
they
too,
they
right?
allow women members now, and you know they only have so many.
Condoleezza Rice.
Right, but they weren't, you know, when the woman protested, wanting women members, they it set us back even further because they said no, we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna cave in to protesters.
They did start another tournament that week, right,
yes,
for women, but not on their course. It's on a course
well,
around.
Well, no, the championship round is at Augusta National.
Oh, it is.
It's the Augusta National Women's AM. So they're much more female friendly now.
I told you we'd make golf interesting.
Yes.
No,
seriously, I've been there for 20.
No, I'm kidding.
I've covered 26 Masters, and they treat me incredibly well.
Yeah.
And they have this women's amateur championship now.
Yeah.
So the new chairman, not that he's new, he's been there for a long time. He has two daughters, and he's, I think they really were big on creating this women's amateur championship.
Well, let's get back to Life on the Green, your book, Anne Liguori, because I know that we're just about to run out of time.
No, but we want to talk about August.
Where are you going to be?
Yes, on August 21st at 1:00, I'll be the Rogers Memorial Library in
Southampton
to give a talk.
How great.
Yes, I've been doing a lot since the book. The book came out in April, and it's been nonstop, but August
great.
Is...
Well, we're not going to let you go without talking about your own score, what your handicap is, and when you played for the first time, and maybe...
Oh, wow.
And have you played with Tiger, the dude?
I have not played with the dude. I'm the dude.
You're the dude.
He has not played with the dude.
Right.
I didn't play golf when I was a kid. I played every other sport.
Really?
I did not play golf. Yeah, I played golf when I started getting all these great invitations to play celebrity golf events and charity golf events after having this primetime show on the Golf Channel. And I was in my 20s.
And didn't all of those celebrities, Stallone and all those people, have a celebrity golf tournament that they sort of fronted or played in?
Well, some of them have celebrity golf events, but they all love the sport.
For charity.
But they might not be great golfers, you know?
Right.
Not just because I'm interviewing them about their golf game. I really used golf as a window into their souls.
Yes, exactly.
It was really about their success stories and their opinions on all kinds of issues. They might not have been, Stallone with the biceps, he could hit the ball pretty far.
Yeah.
But his short game was terrible. You know what I'm saying? So, and Celine had a great swing. She traveled with the pro every time she played golf back in the day.
Wow.
Beautiful swing. So not all these, they loved the game because they could spend more time with Celine picked it up because she wanted to spend more time with her husband.
It really is remarkable because it's a three and a half, sometimes 4 hour with three other people if it's a foursome. So it is an opportunity for men and women or anybody to bond. But
you learn a lot about a person playing golf with them.
Yeah, anybody you've got in a foursome.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Anybody in a foursome, you're like, oh, get me out of this.
All the time.
Somebody beat me. I need to get
out. No. Sometimes, you know, it's very slow. It's very hot. You know, if you're going in these, playing these charity events, the rounds can be 6 hours.
Yeah.
And they can't, you know, some of these people can't hit the ball.
What's the one where they also do basketball and it's at somewhere on the West Coast and they've got a rock concert going and there's a basketball court. It's one of the celebrity pro-ammy things.
The
soap opera star wins every year.
Yes, the celebrity, they do a celebrity tournament every year.
Is it Nevada?
It's in Nevada.
Yeah. Okay. And and they're doing other stuff.
Athletes from all these different sports they're so passionate about golf. They can't perfect the game.
Right.
They're the best, you know, you ask Michael Jordan, he is humbled by golf. You ask, you know, Wayne Gretzky, he is humbled by golf. Wow. It's the hardest sport out there.
Wow.
Because it's
so minute.
So precise.
Right.
And your body's working in all different kind of directions, and you have to have, you have to have it consistent swing every time. And so perfection is unattainable, and that's why all these superstars love it, because they're humbled by golf.
Yeah.
They can't master it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
I'm a 22 and a half.
Okay.
You are on WFAN, you're on WLIW, you are working still to this day everywhere, and a brand ambassador for the clothing you're wearing.
IB Cool.
I have some IB Cool pieces.
Don't you love it?
I do.
It's UPF 50 sunscreen.
I wear IB Uncool.
They have a men's line.
They
and
do.
A junior line.
I got a shirt for Eric. And
yes.
At first, I'll be honest, because this is an honest show. He was like, it's not natural material, was his big thing. Because he wears bamboo and cotton, whatever.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, it's one of his favorite shirts.
Is he Gilligan?
It's soft. It's very lightweight.
No, it's really lightweight. It is so comfortable for him to wear.
And then you were saying
and it's beautiful.
It has ice-fill technology.
Yeah.
It cools your body temperature a couple degrees.
Call in now and hurry.
No, but it's wonderful. And I have a little dress and I wear it in Costa Rica all the time.
You know, skorts.
It's really cute.
Shorts.
What are they paying you a year to wear?
No.
So much money.
Oh my gosh, you don't even know what to do with it.
If you go on ibkula.com and put in my promo code AN20, you get 20% off.
That we are QVC.
It's really, I got to tell you, it is really nice because, like I said, I mean, if Eric will wear it, anyone
and
should.
You
wear
can
it.
And wear it.
Maybe it's not their technology, but that stuff keeps it cool instead of, you said like
it's
10 degrees.
Ice fill technology. It cools your body down in hot and humid temperatures.
It's really good.
And it's very soft, and you can throw it in your suitcase
nice.
When you go to Costa Rica, and it doesn't wrinkle.
Yeah,
it's great to travel.
The last little plug I'll give it is it's also SPF safe, right? So that's important.
SPF 50.
It's really great.
And
you wear long sleeves, and it has meshing for breathability, and there's so many different styles. They come out with 3 collections a year.
Life on the Green, lessons and wisdom. We have had the wisdom for the better part of an hour here with Anne Liguori. Well, the better part of a half an hour.
Well, we had Anne Liguori and we had Taylor and GE.
And we're
going to
talk movies
great.
In just a second.
And Bridget will now become a golfer after this conversation.
If you bring me to a course and nobody's looking, I will try.
Would play you in the movie version of this book?
Oh, wow. What a question.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Well, now that I'm a blonde.
What do you mean now? You're clearly an
actual
blonde.
We saw some pictures. If you're just joining us, we're listening to pictures
of
Anne Liguori.
I know, that was so great.
Muhammad Ali as a short-haired brunette.
Yeah, you
I know.
Crazy.
It has
that
been
was
a
awesome.
Transformation.
Yes, there is.
And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys. I love this.
Oh, please.
You're so great.
This was the
together.
Rehearsal. We'll start now.
Yes.
It'll be all the same questions.
Hey,
how about some gentle golf music, Jim Turner? Then transitions into maybe some movie music. We have just a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, we just have a few minutes left.
Because you thought this was Wait, Don't Tell Me, and now your radio dial is stuck, and you're stuck on Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill.
It'll all be over soon.
Yes, it will.
I love it.
So, thank you, Mr. dinner. Yeah. We have a few minutes left, a couple of minutes to talk
about. Yeah, I want to talk about summer movies. You know, one thing happened this summer that kind of upset me, and I will tell you about it. It was the motion picture Bike Riders that came out in July, and it was in theaters for like 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, it was $19.99 on demand.
Really?
And this to me is the problem with the movie business. Okay. I think it's going away. We need some big blockbusters. And so this month, the very one and done M. Night Shyamalan is back with a motion picture called Trap starring Josh Hartnett. Now, get
this. Wait, I just have too many things going on in my head. You just gave me too much
M. Night Shyamalan, The Sixth
Sense. No, I know that. But his daughter just did something as
Yes, she did.
A few months ago. But also, didn't they do
some poll? And that movie wasn't good either, so she's a chip off the old block.
But they did a poll last month where they asked people where they would prefer to see films. And it was overwhelmingly people don't want to leave their house. They want to stay at home. Now we've got the big movie theater, you know, right. The home theaters and
stuff
like that.
Mrs. McCuddy and I have the 100-inch. And all I'm going
to
tell you is this thing was $25,000 like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're $1,500.
Right.
So when the 150-inch screen comes out and it's $99.
Yeah, of course.
You can kiss Regal goodbye.
I know, which is sad.
But this is interesting. Trap starring Josh Hartnett is about a serial killer they're trying to find. So they throw a rock concert that's all fake.
Just
to lure this guy in. Josh Hartnett's the cop. Only M. Night Shyamalan. And then it turns out everyone's dead at the end.
No, of course. Well, God, and what?
Also, the new Alien Romulus is coming out, but with no Sigourney, as far as I know, no Sigourney Weaver. I think Ridley Scott is back doing this. Another Alien movie, I'm not sure is going to bring throngs of people back into the theater.
And what's My Penguin Friend?
Yeah, it's about a fisherman. It looks like a charming
little
family film.
Like My Octopus Teacher, but My Penguin Friend.
Yes.
I love it. I'm
your penguin friend.
You are my little penguin friend. And it's been another fabulous show.
Yeah, we got to waddle out of here.
Yeah. Thanks again to Jim Turner, to G.E. Smith, and Taylor
Barton. Were we hot? I'm not sure. Maybe we were lukewarm.
It'll be up to the audience to decide our hotness.
Thanks for joining us. You're on LTV and also on WLIW. And now the great legendary Jim Turner.
Take us out, Jim.
Smith called someone I played with once. No, they're great friends and they play together all the time. This was Hot, Hot, Hot.
It was. It was a great show. See?
The proceeding has been brought to you by Canoe Place Inn and Cottages, fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.